Turn with me, if you will, this morning to the book of Proverbs. We'll be looking at three small passages this morning. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. And Proverbs chapter 7, verse 24. So please turn there as I'm doing that. We need to remember that Solomon has been emphasizing this one main point from the very beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's his main point throughout this whole thing, to recognize and to help us understand that as God's people, as those who have been granted the fear of the Lord, that we need to realize that it's there with that fear of the Lord that knowledge begins as we begin to understand the word around us. From the moment we're regenerated by the blood of Christ and imputed by his righteousness, indwelt by his Spirit, from that very moment, the word tells us that we begin to understand the knowledge of God, that we might bring him honor and glory. And it continues to flow from that, whether it's that generation that we're looking at here, Solomon's generation, or whether it's a 21st century Christian, engages us, it encourages us, and enlivens our soul to continue moving forward, energizing us to do the work of the Lord. So Solomon continues to make that clear by highlighting the importance of God's word. We've seen this before, we'll see it again, but right now we're going to focus on this importance of God's word, his wisdom that enables us to live as God prescribes for his glory. So read with me these three sections, starting with Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. From Proverbs 7, verse 1 through 3, my son, keep my words with you. Treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments with you and live. Keep my teachings with you as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. 7:24, now, O sons, O children, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Pray with me. Almighty God, once again, as we look at these continued reminders, these continued commands for us to understand the importance of your word in our life, that which directs our lives, that which encourages us, that which energizes us, that which gives us life. I pray, Father, that your words will connect to our heart, to our minds, and then to our actions. In Jesus' name, amen. Through these last weeks, I have been giving you this particular kind of definition when it comes to what is the fear of the Lord. It's given to us so that we, at our redemption, might glorify God. It's that simple, and yet the Puritans and many different current theologians even have simplified that even more. The fear of the Lord is equal to godly character. The fear of the Lord that is within us is seen in godly character. It's seen, it's known, it's realized by all those around us. This is what God meant when he spoke of Job. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Now, Job wasn't a perfect man. We know that. If you read the rest of the book, you understand that. But at the same time, with every part or every fiber of his soul, he sought to bring God glory. His soul, he showed the fear of the Lord in his godly character, and it was seen by all. Even his friends were trying to figure out why he had changed. But it was also seen by Satan, another reason why it had to be suggested by God to go after him. The fear of the Lord, our godly character, is seen in how we look at the importance of God's word in our lives. So as we turn to these three sections today, we're going to look at four things. Solomon wants to show us how the word emphasizes our identity and our purpose. He's done that multiple times, but we're going to start there to set the foundation for this. Then he shows us how the word preserves us all the time. And then third, he's going to show us how the word strengthens us. And finally, just because we have a tendency to forget, he's going to remind us where all of this comes from when it comes to the word. So let's consider again how the word emphasizes our identity and purpose. And we'll look at the first verse of each of those three sections. From 6:20, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching." From chapter 7, verse 1, "My son, keep my words with you and treasure up my commandments with you." And from 7:24, "And now, O sons, O children, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth." Now, we've talked about this a lot, and I think it's important to recognize how important it is when he uses the terms "my son" or "my children." 17 times up to this point, he's used these terms. 14 times he's used "my son" and 3 times "my children" to emphasize their place in life, to emphasize their purpose in life, and that goes for us as well. However you cut it, it defines a relationship between those who fear the Lord and the Lord himself. A relationship, as I said, that defines our identity and purpose, that godly character that God calls us to so that we can, in fact, glorify him and enjoy him. See, I try to keep it simple because that's how I understand it best. This whole concept of glorifying the Lord and enjoying him, I love the fact that the Westminster Shorter Catechism decided that needed to be the first question and answer. Because sometimes it gets a little more complicated than that. But it all boils back to that one phrase. What is our purpose? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. How do we do that? Well, that's the rest of the catechism. Especially the longer one gets a little crazy sometimes. But most of them were attorneys after all. So it just happens that way. But understanding that is crucial for who we are and what we're to do. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5 how this is all possible and how that character comes about. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering does what? Produces endurance. Endurance does what? It produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's how godly character is developed. But even more than that, see how our identity empowers our purpose. And our purpose defines our identity. As those who fear the Lord, we have been justified, knowing now we have peace with the creator of the universe, which enables us then, having received that justification, to display that godly character and how we live before the Lord and one another and the world. So he keeps reminding us, "My son, my children," to emphasize who we are, no matter our age, and what we are to do. We are to act like sons and daughters of the King. The King with whom we have been granted peace. In other words, we can come into his presence at any time. Not just anybody can do that, but his children. And so these things are crucial for us in our understanding of who we are. There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus ever again. This is who we are. This is the only identity that matters, and it is an identity of eternal significance. And it's the word that emphasizes this, emphasizes the identity and purpose, and just like we saw in Sunday school today, with two little words, son and children. That's all it takes to remind us who we are and what we're to do. Next, Solomon wants us to see that the word preserves. Back up to 6:20 through 23. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your hearts always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a light, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. He continues reminding us, when we keep his commandments, when we forsake not the teaching of our mother, when we bind his word on our heart, when we tie it around our neck, this is so that people could see this oozing from us and recognize that we're different, which on one hand will cause people to hate us, on the other hand will draw people to Christ based on how we live, the things we say, the things we do, the decisions we make, the people that we give our word, as he's pointed out to, the people we choose to hang out with, how we talk to one another or about one another, how we show love and respect and patience and deference and forgiveness to those around us. The word keep here, we continue to see that throughout this section, throughout Scripture, that for that matter, requires forethought and then action on our part based on God's standards and God's standards alone, not our opinion, not the world's teaching, but God's standard. Keeping also has in mind a continual learning process, honing the skill to keep the word, to keep doing the things that bring God honor. We have the word and we have the spirit that enables us to do that. When we keep his word, his wisdom, as commanded, then the word and the spirit will lead us. It will comfort us in the middle of the night. It's right there with us all the time. I don't think we look at the, I don't think we consider the intimate nature of these words. Bind them on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. How many of you have a dog that you put on a leash? That's the picture. They will lead you. We like the other one, though, where the shepherd's in the front and we just follow. But this, in this particular picture, is a reason for the word bind. And they will lead us. Those two things go together. When you lie down, they'll watch over. When you're awake, they will talk with you. They will give you that reproof of discipline, their way of life, the intimacy of this language. Do we consider the word that close to our hearts? Do we ever consider the word that important? Do we recognize the power of the word in that way? The main thing is we're never alone. The word is always with us. It's our closest companion, or I should say he is our closest companion, Jesus Christ, the Word. Think about what he's saying here. The Word of God is never, never out of our sight. It's never to be out of our sight. And yet, we go along throughout the day not considering it ourselves. The Word of God leads us, watches over us, talks with us. Ever thought about the Word talking to you? If you spend a lot of time there, you understand what he means by that. Not an audible language, but a language nonetheless that convicts us, that challenges us, that empowers us, that engages directly with our heart. And we say, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Lord. It talks to us. It preserves us, for our way is illuminated by them so that we don't get lost and fall off the edge. But when we do, it enlightens the way back. At the same time, when we do, we understand and accept and rejoice in the discipline that is meant to preserve us as well, so we can live under God's will. Scriptural discipline always declares a constructive purpose, a particular direction, and a training for our good. all of which promotes health, which preserves us as believers all the time. Third, it's the Word, that is God's wisdom, that strengthens this godly character. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. My son, keep my words with you. I know if you're reading your text, you don't see those words with you, but they're there in the Hebrew. They're there in the Greek text, the oldest ones as well. Treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments with you and live. Keep my teaching with you as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Again, that intimate nature of this. But again, we see the word keep three times in this text, which of course tells us how important it is or should be for us to keep God's word. Keep, as you right remember, is a full word. Even building on what I said just a few minutes ago, this word means cultivate. It means to sow. It needs to spread. It means to cherish. It means to attend to it with your whole heart. Be nourished by it, and then share the bounty of it with those around us. It has all of that and more in the midst of that meaning. This gets to the core of the heart of the believer, to trust, to be faithful, to desire above all things, to live as the Father, our Heavenly Father, desires, describes, and prescribes. In the chapter 6 section, we saw the word bind. We see it again here. Just like writing on your heart, we see it in both places. We are to be bound by this word rather than by sin. We are to be so committed to God's word so that the way, not our way, but God's way, comes through us to the world around us. So that it can be clearly seen, highlighted in these words so that we can live. In wisdom literature, the word life or to live is not simply speaking about existence, but a way characterized by a true relationship that conforms to God's design. Now, of course, that's the covenant, right? So whether we use the word covenant or we use the word live or to live, we're talking about the same thing, a relationship that enables us to do as God has designed us to do. We live in Christ today, and we will live eternally in Christ. He says, my son, keep my word with you, treasure up my commandments with you. When we do that, not only will we truly live, that sense of not being confused about everything that goes on around us, we will live assured and hopeful, but we will also develop a world-life view that enables us, that sustains us, that enables us then to reach out to others and all that God deems for us to do. This is the simple teaching of how important the Word of God is. It's that one place that needs to be continually taking us back to the truth. When we're, instead of making an opinion about something, right here, we have all that we need. The Word strengthens and grows the godly character given to us by God when we get to see and know who we are and what's our purposes, and then see that actually carried out as we're doing the things that God calls us to do, and then see the product of that. We've talked a lot about the different journeys that we've watched God work through in this church, the prayers that have gone into it, the different counsel that has gone into helping brothers and sisters make decisions, and we see the product that's come from that. That encourages us to keep doing what we've been doing. That builds our godly character to say, yeah, this is what God wants us to do, and look at the results. These continue to help us think through this process over and over and over again. So Solomon says to his sons and his son and his daughters, our father says to us, use the gifts. Use the power that God has afforded us through his word, and we will get more and more familiar with that word. We will see how it works out, the fingertips. It's beyond our tongue, the tip of our tongue when we need it. It will be written on the tablet of our heart to comfort us so that we can comfort others. It will strengthen us as we are able to handle the warfare against the temptations, and it will help us lead and care for others because of a strengthened godly character. Lastly, Solomon speaks of how the word keeps reminding us of where our strength comes from. verse 24 of chapter 7. And now, O sons, O children, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Remember again where he started. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when he tells us, now, O children, listen to me, this is not a suggestion. Yeah, he's the king, and so he has a certain amount of authority, but the reality is this is a command that comes straight from God to him, to his children, to us. Not a suggestion, an absolute command. Listen to everything I've said, implement everything I have said, so that you may live. For he has perceived those who lack sense, as I said a few weeks ago, talking about himself. Void of understanding, and in this case, void of a willingness to understand, or void of a willingness to implement what they know to be true over and over again. So he commands, listen to me. In the same way Jesus commanded, truly, truly, I say unto you. Or the way Paul commanded, this is the first thing. Or that little word, behold. That word in itself says, see the truth. See the hand of God. Live by his word and be guided by his hand and you will live. The fear of the Lord is based on a relationship of life. And he gives both. He gives us the fear of the Lord and he gives us life. He gives one so we can experience the other. The next he says, be attentive to my words and my mouth. Again, not a suggestion. A command that commands us to pay strict attention. As I said a couple weeks ago, as if our life depends on it. And it does. We are to understand every little iota, every little piece of what Solomon is teaching, what the Lord is teaching to us, that we might implement each of those pieces and make a big picture so that we can glorify him in all that we do, so that we can be attentive, so that we can be obedient, so that we can be submissive, all those things that we rebel against. But they're crucial for us to be able to do those before him. For those who have the fear of the Lord within them, these are the things that that are results of that life that he's given us. And when we aren't attentive, when we aren't obedient, when we aren't submissive, we are surprised by how the world around us seems to be falling apart. We shouldn't be, of course. But we are. He says, remind, listen to me, be attentive to the words in my mouth. Keep my commandments, forsake not your mother's teaching, and live. We all want to live. We all want our relationship with the Lord to grow. So he simply reminds us of the importance of God's word in that process. Because the word will lead us when we walk. It will watch over us when we lie down. It will talk to us when we're awake. I love this passage because it sounds so familiar to one of my favorite passages. From Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You will bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, this is not a suggestion. This is a command that reveals the importance of the Word of God on our life. And the Word of God cannot be minimized, ever. Oh, we might be weak and reject it, but it doesn't minimize the word of God in any way, shape, or form just because of our sin. Because this word emphasizes our identities and our purpose. It preserves us as God's children from ultimate ruin. It strengthens our character since we've been justified by Christ, by God through Christ. And it constantly reminds us of where all this comes from and more. So praise be to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who works his will through us through the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we are grateful this day for your word. We're thankful for how you continue to teach us the importance of your word. You constantly have to remind us because we constantly forget and place ourselves before it, our opinions before it, the world's opinion before it. Forgive us. Encourage us and energize us. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.